Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time for our regular weekly conversation with NFL Hall of Fame wide receiver, NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Man, I'm doing well, man. Why that man Kyrie? Why can't Kyrie win now? The man just said all he did was call LeBron to get some advice. Usually, whenever a young guy says, "I called an older guy to get some advice," he said, "Man, we like that guy. We like that he's calling, trying to get some advice." What's going on? Why can't
Michael, we don't like LeBron here. It's as simple as that. We can't stand LeBron here. He's beaten the Celtics too many times. We can't stand him.
But that's okay. I understand that. But now he's trying to help you if he's passing on knowledge to Kyrie on how to lead men to championships. That's a good thing. But for Kyrie to be the man couple and say, "Listen, maybe I was like these young guys right here and did not listen." I thought it was a good thing that he came out and said it and even shared it with all of us.
Michael, right? does the good leader tell everybody that he's a leader?
Yeah, that's what Ben Roethlisberger has been doing all year, right?
You think he's a good leader? That's a terrible example.
So should the young guys?
Let's not be this narrow-minded. Yeah. Absolutely, sometimes a good leader tells you, "You're good." Now, if you have a walk in your house and say, "I'm the man around here," yes, you have. Because sometimes you have to put things in order. And I don't think he was telling. It wasn't like he walked out of tears and said, "What a leader in here." He was sharing a moment with people by saying, "I called LeBron," and he's always saying, "I'm not a great leader. That's why I called LeBron. I'm trying to become a great leader. That's why I called him." I just think people are too hard on him.
But is he taking a shot at the young players on the Celtics and maybe is waiting a phone call for an apology from them?
Well, no, I understand all of that, but if he's self-indicted. He's self-indicted.
Yeah.
He's self-indicted first. Let me tell you something. Whenever I have to comment on a guy that has made a bad decision off the field, the first thing I want to do is say, "Listen, trust me. I made my choice. I made my share of bad decisions off the field." I got to self-indict first before I make any statement. Anybody of coming back and go, "Oh my God, I can't believe you said that about this guy, and you know what you did." He self indicted first. So once you self indict, yes, now I'm saying, "Allow me to help you because of the mistakes that I have made. I'm sharing with you the mistakes I have made." It's just me. Everybody's different. And I think that's very important that you self indict because you say, "I've been right there where you are. I made these mistakes. Oh my God, I'm trying to help you not make it." That's what we're all trying to do. That's what we're trying to do as athletes. That's what we're trying to do as businessmen. And more importantly than all, that's what we're trying to do as fathers.
We like everything Michael Irvin says, generally speaking, but we like to hear him. And
yeah,
so
we're
going to try to get him on a better connection because...
He came out swinging, though, about Kyrie.
Yeah.
I love it.
He completely steered this bus into the ditch, too.
Hey, but that's still a conversation that is not over with.
Agreed.
Like, let's see where this thing goes. They got a game against Memphis tonight, and obviously all the attention is on Patriots-Chiefs, and then hopefully Patriots Super Bowl and everything else, but is this going to be a turning point for the Celtics? It'll be really interesting to see what happens.
How many come to Jesus messages can you have? Team meetings?
Exactly.
You know, how many of those can you have before it starts losing its effectiveness?
I would think even more than one is like a bit much, isn't it?
Probably.
I mean, it's a long season, but still, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
We've heard it. We've heard of Kyrie.
I've told the story of my friend Tom McVie, who was the coach of the Maine Mariners at the time. Team was going through a bit of a rough patch, and I said, "You're going to have a team meeting?" He said, "No." I said, "Why not?" He says, "What happens if I hold a team meeting and we come out and suck?"
Yeah.
Then where do I go? What do I do then?
Right?
You're like, forget everything I said.
Yeah,
we're starting over. We're going
when
somewhere
else.
When
you hear players-only meetings.
Oh, yeah, those never work.
No, they don't.
The problem is that if you're having those meetings, that means something's going wrong already.
Like, I guess you are admitting that something is wrong, like that,
yes,
that whole thing. So I guess there is that, which, yeah, can be important, but how do you rectify it? How do you figure it out? You got to have the right people in the room responding. First, delivering the message.
Yes.
And then also responding. But my point to Michael just a second ago was,
well, you do hate LeBron. I mean,
I hate him.
That was your primary point.
I hate him. But right now, I've now turned on Kyrie. But
you self-indicted, like he told you. I hate LeBron.
I'm
okay, now let's
it.
Go.
But Tom Brady, I would say he is a leader. Correct? Pretty fair to say Tom Brady's a leader. Does he go up there on his press conferences and say,
I'm the leader of this team?
Or, hey, I was talking to Bledsoe about trying to get some of these young guys to work. Or I called that's maybe not a good example. But I was talking to somebody trying to get, like, no. No, I'm sure he has a lot of conversations with his teammates.
Leadership's self-evident. It's,
yes,
never. I've been on teams where guys have tried to declare.
It's good. It's good if players declare him the leader.
Well, I've been
if
on
teammates declare him the leader. That's a good thing. He's the guy.
I've been in situations where guys have declared themselves leaders and weren't.
Let's try this again and see if we've got a little better line. Michael, you there?
How do I get off speaker, babe?
Oh,
there we go.
That's better.
Hey, hold on, guys. Let me get you off speaker here.
Appreciate it.
You actually sounded pretty clear.
Sounds
pretty good. Not too bad.
It was much improved over what we were hearing before.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, for sure.
There we go.
Oh, that is so much better. Thank you so much.
Let's get back to this conversation right now.
All right.
Keep it out here.
I mean, right. I will say this, Michael. Generally speaking, if a player declares that he's a leader, that's a bad thing. If teammates say, hey, that's our leader, that's our guy, that's a good thing. It's usually bad when a player says it.
That's in general, guys, but we have to understand. I believe what you're doing, and I don't know how much you guys heard, is if you have to first self-indict, and that gives you the stance by which to speak to whom you are speaking with. And we are all trying to do it. Whenever I make a comment on a guy that's making a bad decision off the field, the first thing I do is self-indict. I say, hey, listen, I made my share of bad decisions off the field. And that gives me the credibility to speak to you. Because somebody that has made those bad decisions, they don't really have the credibility. They're talking from up high. They've never been down low. I'm telling you where I've been. And Kyrie was telling you where he's been. It should give him the credibility to speak to you, not putting you down. It's what we're trying to do in business. It's what we're trying to do in athletics. It's what we're trying to do as fathers and parents. Tell our kids, listen, I made that bad decision. Don't you make it. That's what we do. That is leadership.
Michael, as for Patriots-Chiefs this weekend, one of the concerns I have as a Patriots fan is the road record this season was not good. They were 3-5 on the road. How much of a factor is that this weekend, or is it offset by just how much experience Brady, Belichick, and even a lot of the guys have on the team in games this late into the season?
It is somewhat offset by that, and because no matter what, whenever you make another step up, you're going to deal with it. And in this level, these games come down to plays here, a plays there, plays here, plays there. And there is no tomorrow if that play is not made. And there's been nobody better at it. Nobody better in the world than Tom Brady. We have a question: Who's most concerned? Who's the cause of the dynasty? Belichick and Brady. And I can't separate it. I can't separate it because the coach's job is to put you in position to win, and then the player's job is to take that position and win. And Belichick has done his job by putting them in position to win, and Brady has been great at his job by actually doing the winning. It's hard to separate those two because one without the other does not work. You can put somebody else in position to win. The year you went at Matt Castle, you got in position to win. You won 11 games, but I don't know that Matt Castle could win in the playoffs. I do know. What am I talking about? I don't know.
Yeah, you know.
Like Tom Brady wins in the playoffs. That's the difference. They didn't get to the playoffs that year. That's why I said that. But that's the difference. It's do you make those plays in those crucial moments when pressure comes down? And I tell people this. Pressure does one or two things for people. It makes the good fold, and it makes the great focus. And Tom Brady has always focused in those great moments that the Dallas Cowboys folded in last week.
Michael, you guys had great offenses in your Super Bowl runs and pretty damn good defenses, too. How dependent is this Patriots defense on the Patriots offense putting up points?
But that's okay. That's okay if it is. They run together and they play together. That defense played great last week.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they played great. They were all over.
Yep.
They must have hit Phillip Rivers everywhere he could be hit. Coming in, and I thought they did a great job. As a matter of fact, I thought all the defenses that's left playing right now did a much better job than they did in the regular season. I don't know where somebody went to somebody must have knocked on his door and said, wakey, wakey, baby, to Ndamukong Suh. Because he woke his butt up and played like a mad dog. That defense in Kansas City with Justin Houston, they woke up and played like a mad dog. And in New England, and it goes back to what I'm telling you. It's these moments right here that the pressure comes down, that those guys are stepping up, and some other people are deciding to step away because the pressure is too great.
As a Hall of Fame wide receiver, I assume you like the fact that the four best offenses are left in the conference championships this weekend. But the question is, in the Patriots-Chiefs game, which defense has a better chance to perform well?
And if we take into account all that's going on, all that's happening, I think advantage goes to the Patriots defense. And let me explain. We heard about an Arctic blast coming through there. And that thing has vacillated from about 8 degrees to 25 degrees. You know, but if it's on that lower end, where they're talking 8, 9 degrees, that ball, it's going to be so heavy and so hard to throw deep, and that's the staple of the Kansas City Chiefs offense. But it doesn't affect the short passes. It doesn't affect the guy that's matriculate the ball down the field. That's an advantage to the Patriots offense. And so if the Chiefs going to be limited, the Chiefs going to be limited in that offense because of the weather, and the Patriots are not, that gives advantage to the Patriots' defense. Let me tell you now, when you hear people say, well, we run a balanced offense, what do we usually talk about? Well, we 50% run, we 50% pass. No, that's not what I call balanced offense. What I call a balanced offense is what we had during our dynasty days and winning Super Bowls. That means balance means we can beat you by land or we can beat you by air. And it's not a percentage of run versus pass. It's whatever poison you choose, sucker, you going to die.
Michael, I don't know if you've made your picks yet, but who do you think will be playing in the Super Bowl?
I've been leaning until I heard this weather. I've leaned just slightly towards Kansas City on the home because you guys talked about it on the road record. But when this weather came down, I said, uh-oh, that changes things. That changes everything right there. That makes me lean slightly back towards New England. And in the other game, I thought about when whoever woke up at Dominican Sue, and get this, it's not just Sue that woke up, it's also Sean McVay that woke up. He saw last week, and maybe I am throwing this ball too much. Maybe I should just run this ball. And now I got C.J. Anderson in Target. I believe he goes down in New Orleans. And he runs the ball, which takes out that crowd noise and takes away the advantage they have of getting to the quarterback because you'll jump on the snap. And I think I just lean slightly over there at the Rams at getting that win in New Orleans.
Michael, when you when you're in a situation where you're, what's the easiest thing offensively to do to eliminate the crowd noise? Is it just the quarterback's hand signals, or is there more to it than that?
No, man. You know, come to think about it, both teams are visiting some of the noisiest places in the league. You know what I mean? Kansas City, them people, they ain't got nothing to do but yell. And if they go to work the next day, horse, they get a raise. You did a good job yesterday game. We're going to give you a raise. That's how Kansas City is. That's how they do it out there. But it does affect you, man. It affects your ability to communicate on offense. But more importantly, because I can get hand signals from quarterbacks or are we bunchy and tight? I can get to play. I never, I do try to catch the count, but I can also watch the ball from the wide receiver position. But the biggest advantage gets is it will be on the jump that the eyes get, because the tackle can't even hear Hutt. He's looking in to get the Hutt, and by the time he looks in and looks back out, that guy's already jumped across that ball, and he's going for the quarterback. That's the biggest advantage goes to those defensive end, the defensive linemen, when you're in that kind of atmosphere. And that's why New England, who can win by land, like they did last week, or win by air, who gives the balanced attack, has an advantage in that.
Michael, we always appreciate the time. Thank you for the perseverance with the phone. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I apologize too, man. We had too much good stuff to be talking about. That phone in the way of this exchange of knowledge. That's what I call it, an exchange of knowledge. That's why I love radio. I love radio more than TV, because the radio, we talk with people. TV, I kind of talk to people and at people. It's just the difference, guys.
I
appreciate it.
I appreciate it,
good
Michael.
Stuff, Michael.
Thanks.
Thanks, Michael.
All right, guys.
Take care. Well. That is Hall of Fame wide receiver Michael Irvin.
I love it.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.